just talk to you this morning about guarding against cold Christianity. Guarding against cold Christianity. How many know that sometimes if you're not careful, like for instance in your marriage, how many of you remember when you first dated? When you first, anybody remember? Nobody remembers. I'm sure their spouse is thrilled with that. Yeah. Oh, remember my first date. Okay. But maybe your first date with your forever mate, right? I remember our first date, my first date with Michelle. We went to Midland Park Mall and we watched the movie, The Santa Claus. They remember Tim Allen. Y'all remember that movie? We remember that because she wanted to do we wanted to do kind of like a day date because, if you go on a day date and it doesn't go good, you can diss them for the rest of the day. If it goes well, then you can go from a day date to a dinner date. How many know what I'm talking about, right? If you don't know, that's just what, anyway, but I was super excited, right? Like I washed my truck. I had a Chevy S10 pickup truck at the time. Come on, somebody. I had my best set of clothes, right? Back in the day, I was a youth pastor, and in my town, if you didn't dress the part, you didn't have a part. You know what I'm saying? So I had at the time, it was Tommy Hilfiger. Anybody know Tommy Hilfiger? Like I had my little polo boots on. Like I was strutting, man. I had all my best clothes. I'd save money for like a month, right? Like because I was a youth pastor, janitor, and a worship leader, okay? And the pastor didn't have any money to pay. So I was going all in, and I knew the odds were against me because I knew there was about four other guys about to ask Michelle out on a date. So I'm like, I got to go big or go home, right? So I knew this was, and so here's the deal, though. Fast forward almost 26 years this December, and then we got three kids, a demon-possessed Dachshund dog, and I don't remember the last time I washed my truck. I'm sporting a dad bod, walking around in jeans and a t-shirt. And to be honest, if I'm not careful, our idea of a date is going to Sam's Club and eating samples. Come on, somebody. You know what I'm saying? Right? Like, you know, how many are glad Sam's Club is serving samples again, right? You know, some of the guys are like, we don't have to go to Texas Roadhouse. They got road right here, man. We're like, we got all the stuff, right? So some of you can go back on a date now, right? But listen, to keep the fire burning, to keep the passion alive for a long period of time, how many know it can just be challenging? Right? In your marriage, in all kinds of areas, right? Like, for instance, you get a new house and you're all excited about the new house. And how many know the new house becomes an old house? You're like, then you just gripe because you have to clean up the new house. They become an old house and you're bored with it. You want to buy a new house, right? Or you get a new car and you like love the new car, but then the new car gets some crumbs in it. Remember? Remember when you committed, like, I don't care if I've got kids. You're not eating in my car. And then the first crumb. And then the crumble. Right? And you're just like, why am I even trying? And so the new car becomes an old car. Right? And you have it, but you're no longer in love with it. Right? And the longer you have something, the more familiar it becomes, the more old and boring it can be. Right? It can kind of feel like this graph. I made this graph before I left. If you can show that graph, I think I put it up there. Did I put a graph up there? There's a graph up there. Hello. No graph? Oh, stink. I forgot to put my graph up. Here's the graph I created. I'm sorry. I thought I put it. I created it and didn't put it in the folder. But here's the deal. It's kind of like we were talking on a trip when you in the van for that long a period of time. You can talk a lot. They were talking about this guy who took this lady on a date for like $700. $700. How many? $700 date. Anybody gone on a $700 date? Right? $700. Right? How many know, like, you start out $700, how many know it's all Burger King from there? You know, like, right? Like, you start out your best foot forward and it's all downhill from there, right? Like, you kind of say, and that's how sometimes we do in life, isn't that right? Like, remember sometimes, like, if we're not careful, we start out really, really high and we're excited about being married and we're excited about the new thing. And then it kind of just goes down from there. Our satisfaction fades. And isn't it true that the same thing can be true in our relationship with Jesus? The longer you love Jesus, listen to me, the more likely we are to take him for granted. The longer we love Jesus, the more likely, just like your spouse, the longer you've been married, the more likely you are just to take him for granted. Right? Remember when you first became a Christian and you couldn't wait to read your Bible and go to church and be around other Christians and learn all you could possibly learn about him? But then after a year passes or 2 years pass or three, and it just gets easier and easier for your affection for Jesus to fade and to grow cold. And you just kind of go through the motions. Right? Right? Like, yeah, I went to church Sunday. What'd you learn? Not a thing. What did God speak to you? Nothing. Right? But I went to church. Right? Because it can be that way, right? If we're not careful. And don't be surprised, because Jesus said it would be that way. Not that it just could be. He actually says it will be. In Matthew chapter number 24, verse number 12, Jesus is talking to some disciples, and he's talking about the end times. And I've said this before. I believe we're living in the end times of the end times. And I want you to, if you hear nothing else I'll say today, this is going to be good today, okay? But listen, if you hear nothing else, listen to this and tell me if this is not the church of the day. This is what the Word of God says. Matthew chapter 24, verse number 12 says, because of the increased of wickedness, here's what Jesus says, the love of most will grow cold. So we shouldn't be surprised that churches are emptying, people are drifting, because he says when the end is coming, and we believe it is, he says the love of not many, but most. Look around, just like, I don't want to be most. Right? He says the love of most people are going to grow cold. Right? And so, church, I'm just asking you, please don't think it can't happen to you. Please don't think that, man, I've been in this thing so long. Man, I'm on fire. Like, because listen, honestly, like, listen, some of us, like, we're really excited on our wedding day, and then it's like, wah, wah, wah. After a while, because the more familiar you become, the more likely you are to grow cold. Right? And I just don't want us to have a relationship with Jesus that looks like most people's relationship with Jesus. I don't want to be average. I don't want my relationship with Jesus to slow over the years. I want it to grow over the years. So let me say it this way. I want us to learn this morning how to guard our heart against cold Christianity. Did I just whistle? Dude, that was awesome. So Jesus gives us four principles I want to share with you this morning. And again, you can look on YouVersion, and they're on your phone if you would go to YouVersion and go live events, and you can follow it there. But here's the first one, and that is we got to learn to focus forward. Everybody say focus forward. Like, how many know if you want to be on fire for God, you've got to stop trying to live on yesterday's victories. Right? How many know you can live, you can learn from history, but you can't live in it. I think a lot of Christians are frustrated because we're trying to live on yesterday. And God is a right now God. Everybody say he's a right now God. Amen. If I was to ask you this morning, like, what is some of the most exciting times with God that you ever remember? How far would you have to go back? Last week? Last month? Last year? Back in the good old days? Maybe, man, when I was in youth camp back in 1976, man, that was awesome. Man, we had a revival back when Brownsville was going on strong. Boom, that was the bomb. Back when such and such was here, man, that was awesome times, right? Or maybe you were walking through a time a few months ago, and man, somebody come alongside of you and they pointed you to Jesus. You're like, man, that was awesome. And here we know that all of those things are fine, but isn't it tragic? Isn't it sad that all of those things happened way back then instead of today? Right now, what God is speaking to me right now, what God is doing in my life right now. Isn't it sad that we're having to try to rely on last year's blessings and last year's thing to try to keep us sustained for today? Right? Have you ever eaten guacamole? How many know you have to only eat fresh guacamole? Otherwise, it turns brown. How many want your last year's guacamole? How many know that's yuck? Everybody say yuck. Can I just tell you, a relationship that's trying to build on what last year's stuff is, trying to sustain your relationship with Jesus, is yuck in the eyes of God. He's like, man, my mercies are new every day. I've got new blessings for you every day. But how many times do we try to live on past victories, right? Have you ever been around someone who's still living in the glory days of their high school years? Right? I wasn't, but how weird would it be if I come up to you and like every time you talk to me, man, back when I was back in 1986, I was like the star basketball player or star football player, and we were playing against Oak Grove, our rival. And man, last 3 seconds, fourth down, last play of the game, I rear back, I throw the winning touchdown, and that's the only story I ever tell you every time I see you. You would think you're weird, wouldn't you? You're like, you are 53 years old. 86 was a long time ago. Get over it. Right? But how many know it's the same with Christianity? We're like, back when we used to pray before church, we had revival. Right? If I talked about that, you would just think I was crazy. But if we're not careful, how many know we can do the same thing in our walk with Jesus? The only thing we can remember is way back when we used to share our faith. Way back when we used to pray and we used to be on fire and we used to be excited about teaching and we used to be excited about praying and we used to be excited about what the church is doing and we used to be excited about 21 days of prayer and fasting. Back in those days. But I'm just telling you today, we can't live on yesterday. Right? Many times we get stuck just waiting for heaven. The only point of reference is years ago when the fire of God was burning and people were on fire and everything was doing awesome, right? But there's nothing up to date, right? I just don't want us to be stuck in trying to live and focus. All of our focus is on what God did back then because he's a right now God. Amen. In Revelation chapter number 2, John's writing to the church at Ephesus and he says, hey guys, you're doing some great things. You're doing some awesome things. You're moral people. You're good people. Like you've come through some hard times. You've persevered through some tough times. But then he says this in Revelation chapter number 2, verses 4 through 5. He says, yet I hold this against you. You've forsaken the love you had at first. You've forsaken the love you've had at first. Church, we got to guard against losing our first love, losing our passion. Right? And to say, God, I want you to burn in my life again. The problem is sometimes we think, that's just how it works, right? It's like how the graph is, right? You start out a $700 date and then it just gets worse from there. Right? Have you ever been listening to students come back, like they come back from youth convention or whatever, they're on fire, or they come back, or maybe you come through a revival or whatever, and somebody's like, hey, dude, this is awesome. And they're ready to win their school for Jesus, and they're ready to do all these great things. And we're like, man, this is going to be awesome, and God's going to do incredible things. And have you ever been guilty of this? Right? I know we have, because I've been here long enough at this point to know we have, right? Like the church grows for a little while, like, yeah, but it's not going to last. The kids are on fire for a while. Yeah, well, that's camp. They'll fizzle out. Right? And we kind of get cynical. Right? Because that's what our expectation is. Like, yeah, it starts out really, really good, but it just gets worse. I just don't want us to be normal. Right? I don't want to go back to how it was. I want to go into what God has for us, right? I want to be on fire. I want my love for Jesus to be fresh and up to date. So many people want to go back to how it used to be in the good old days, right? When the churches were filled and people were on fire with God and for God, and God was moving in powerful ways. I wonder, listen to me, if we ask God to take us back when he was moving, if his answer would be no, I want you to go back to the days when you were moving. You don't want to go. I'm not taking you back to when you were moving. I was moving. What about when you're moving? Right? Worship. You know when worship is awesome? When we're moving. You know when preaching is awesome? When we're engaged. When we're hungry. You know when God's moving? When we start inviting people. Like, it's not about God's stuff. I mean, no. God didn't change. We did. We don't love him like we did at first because we're not doing the things we did at first. Right? Right? That's why I'm in here on the first day or getting ready for 21 days of prayer and fasting, because the thing I used to do was come in here and pray for an hour before church. And God said, hey, you want what you used to have? Do what you used to do. Stinks, because it was a lot more fun sitting in my office and just review notes for a little while. But actually coming in and saying, God, I need you to do something, because listen, I can't change anybody. I can't do anything. Like, only you can change a man's heart. Nothing I'm going to be able to say. I can't. Listen, you can hear better preaching. You can go to another place. You can do whatever you want to. You can get the greatest worship. Can I just tell you, we've got all that, and we've got some of the most dead churches on the planet. We've got all the fixings. But we're not fascinated on Jesus. But it doesn't have to be that way. God wants us to continue to move in our life, right? He wants to continue. He says in Isaiah 43, verse number 18 and 19, forget the former things and do not dwell on the past. Again, he didn't say don't think about the past at all. He just says don't live there. Don't dwell there. That's not your house today. Come on, somebody. The good old days, like you're not in 1986 anymore. It's time to get in to August 2021. Right? And what I want to do right now, God said, I want to do a new thing. I want to do something fresh in your life. The only question is, are you going to perceive it? Are you going to see it? Or have you been in church so long, you're going through the motions for so long that you no longer have an eye to see the expectation that God wants to do of something powerful in your life? Right? Our relationship with grow, it can grow and not slow, but it's going to mean we're going to have to repent. It's going to mean that God's going to do some things and we'll go back to the things that we've done at first. Here's the second thing. If you want your relationship with Jesus not to go cold, and that is we got to choose intimacy over information. Choose intimacy over information. And we know making intimacy with Jesus more important than just about information about Jesus will keep you on fire for Jesus, right? I heard a story about a pastor who went to visit a girl. Her mom had just passed away, and he felt like he needed to go and talk to her and console her. And so he goes in and he says, ma'am, how are you doing? And she said, man, I'm great, but man, my mom's with my best friend. And he kind of misunderstood. He thought that maybe she had a best friend who died at the same time as her mom. And so he's like, man, I'm so sorry. Your friend died. She said, no. I'm only grieving because my mom is with Jesus and Jesus is my best friend and I'm still here. See, she had intimacy with Jesus, so she had the perspective of Jesus. Oh, that was good, y'all. I know y'all like tired. Listen, you ain't tired of me, but I'm here to preach, y'all. Right? Like she had intimacy with Jesus, so she had the perspective of Jesus. Like I may temporarily lose them now, but let me tell you, listen, I know there's going to be a day when we're all going to be in heaven and it's not going to be this way forever. Amen? Right? Because she had intimacy with Jesus. If we make information about Jesus more important than information or intimacy with Jesus, then our love for Jesus will be cold. Right? If all we have is information. We'll start ending up like the Pharisees, right? In Jesus' day, they knew all the scriptures, right? They appeared to be following all the rules. And I say appeared because how many know they didn't? Just like sometimes on a Sunday morning, we appear to have it all together, but we don't. If you don't, I know some people who can show you what you don't have, right? Come on, somebody, right? Like what you don't have together. Like we don't, right? And they were always in the temple. They were every Bible study. They seemed to have it all together. And Jesus spent a whole lot of time with these guys, preaching to them and actually rebuking the pastors. Jesus says, guys, you're missing it. You have lots of knowledge about me in your head, but you don't have any love for me in your heart. And we know we got a lot of that in the modern day church. We're at every Bible study. We know all the stories. We're like, man, like some of you, like, oh, he's going to talk about cold Christianity. And like, I just say, oh, I already know that. And you can have it here, but listen, here without here doesn't change your life. We got a whole lot of people who can quote scripture, but can't live out not gossiping. Come on, somebody. We're coming back yesterday and we were tired and we were just goofing around and I thought something, it was not appropriate. And they were like, what is it? What? I'm like, let no unwholesome thought come out or talk come out of your mouth. I'm not saying anything. Like, you got to practice. Right? Come on, somebody. Like, listen, I got to say no to the flesh. I wanted to, but I had to say no. Right? And it can happen to us. Matthew chapter number 23, verses 28, it says, woe to you teachers of the law and the Pharisees, you hypocrites. You're like whitewashed tombs. And y'all think I'm hard. Come on. Whitewashed tombs, hypocrites, right? That's how Jesus does his skirt. If Jesus was preaching, there you go. That was funny, y'all. I'm sorry, y'all, too tired. Which look beautiful on the outside, but on the inside are full of dead man's bones and everything unclean. In the same way, on the outside, you appear to people as righteous, but on the inside, you're full of hypocrisy and wickedness. And we know that can just happen. Like when we just get a bunch of information and we don't have intimacy, right? On the outside, the Pharisees had all the information. They could do the theological debate. They would win junior Bible quiz. Right? Bible trivia was nothing for them. They knew scripture. They just didn't know Jesus. We have a lot of people today in the church world today that know a lot of scripture. They just don't know Jesus. They had information about God. They just didn't have an intimacy with God. And if we're not careful, church, we can be the same way. Like living in Louisiana is a hazard. We live in the Bible Belt. So we know it all. We know the church lingo. We know even if they say, I need some space. Don't send me chicken. When somebody dies, we're bringing chicken. Cause that's what we do. And by George, you ain't telling me to not bring chicken. Cause you may not know you need chicken, but I know you need chicken. Cause that's what we do. Right? Like we know the talk, right? We know when to say amen and hallelujah and thank you, Jesus. We know when to sit. No, we don't, because we actually should. When Jesus is in the room, which he is here, you're like, oh no, we should stand when we're able. Amen. Now, if you physically can't, I understand that. But how many know, like, when Jesus is in the room? But we know all the language. We know all the stuff. We all know the things to do. We know the dress to wear. We know all the stuff. But listen, you can know all the right information and have no intimacy. You can know all the Bible stories, but have no intimacy. You can look put together on the outside, but on the inside, you're crushing. Right? We've been talking a few weeks ago. We're doing this series right now on Wednesday night, and we're just talking about contributing versus consuming, how it's not healthy just to consume everything, but we actually have to contribute something. Right? We got to pour out our lives to other people. Like, you can't just get information about Jesus. You got to share information about Jesus. And I just was wondering, and I'm probably going to, you know, as if it could get any worse, Wednesday night's probably going to decrease attendance. Cause I'm thinking, what if a series on Wednesday night would be better spent actually going out and being the church instead of just coming and going to church? What if instead of coming to study more about Jesus, we actually pour out some of our knowledge? And we were actually the hands and feet of Jesus. Right? And I know when I first got here, I remember one time, when I first got here, I loaded up, Billy Pruitt. And I said, hey, dude, I need some water. And we got some ice. We got water and we iced it down. And then I got them all to church and we prayed. And then we left and we went into the parks and went to places we give out water. Next week, everybody's like, hey, are you doing that thing again? Because if you are, I'm not coming. So you just want more information about Jesus. You just don't actually want to do anything with Jesus or for Jesus. Come on, somebody. Help me out, bro. What if we didn't just study about God, but we actually enjoyed spending time with God? What if instead of saying we're going to have a night of prayer and worship, we didn't say, oh, they're just going to worship and pray tonight, I'm not going. Then we actually said, oh, I get to spend time with the creator of the universe. Hear me? Yeah, that's cool. Right? Instead of, they're just praying tonight. How ridiculous does that sound when you say it out loud? Oh, they're just praying tonight, I don't have to go. Come on, somebody. Right? Let me say it this way. Let me say this. Oftentimes, I think we view our relationship with Jesus like a test to take more than he is a friend to have. Did you hear me? And I got to get up in the morning, I got to pray, and I've got to read my Bible, I've got to serve, and I got to share my faith, and I got to do this big list of long requirements. And isn't it true? That's heavy and hard. What if we just enjoyed spending time with Jesus? Like when you go out, well, I mean, like Tyler and I'll hang out sometimes, and different people in the church will hang out. And if I hang out like Jimmy Dale, Jimmy Dale's got, he's this tall and he's got this color hair and this color eye. How many know that would be weird? Like, I don't go and say, hey, Jimmy Dale, Tyler, guys, listen, hold on just 1 second before we have coffee or before I talk to you, I need to get your description. I need to take some notes about you. No, I'm just with them. And as a result of being with them, I leave that meeting knowing more about them. Isn't this genius? I don't take notes on you. What if we just enjoyed hanging out with Jesus? What if we just got back to simple faith? Right? Just being with Jesus. Right? Jesus says that we should have faith like a little child. Now, isn't that kind of crazy? Because how many know your children really don't know anything about your parents? Right? When they're small? Have you ever asked a kid, like, questions when they're little bitty, like 2, 3 years old? Like, how old is your mama? 200? Not a good answer, but isn't that true? How tall is your dad? He's 2,000 feet tall. Right? Ask Andrew, right? I love talking to Andrew. Like, dude, he's all in, man. He's going big all the time, right? Like, you ask him anything, right? They don't know any, but listen, here's the deal. The kids know little about us, but they love us anyway because they know the basics. They know my parents love me. They feed me. They provide for me. They play with me. And that's enough. Church, can I ask you a question? When did just knowing the basics stop being enough with our relationship with Jesus? When did we just stop enjoying just being with Him? When did knowing about Jesus become more important than knowing Jesus? When did we graduate from Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so, and now that's not enough? Go deeper, Pastor. Impress me more, church. Impress, do greater programs, church. When did we get to a point where we care more about information and programs than we just being together with God's people, learning about who He is? When did we become discontent with the fact that Jesus loves us and He wants the best for us? That He died for our sins so we could have new life in Him, that He has a good plan for you? When did that become not enough anymore? Right? God, help us to desire intimacy with You more than information just about You. Information is important, right? You can't just believe whatever you want to, right? But knowing about God and knowing God is two different things. Here's number three, and I'm going to try to hurry. But I've studied for 2 weeks, so I'm ready to go, okay? Here's number three, and that is we got to be accountable. If we need to take a stretch break, we can. Matter of fact, why don't we do that? Everybody, if you want to, you can just stand up and stretch. Stretch. Anybody, you're tired, right? I rode in the van 15 hours yesterday, so I need a little stretch. Maybe that'll make you feel better, right? Be accountable, right? If you try to serve Jesus on your own, you're going to fail, right? I said this before, but I'll tell you again. Isolation is the devil's playground. He loves to get you off by yourself doing your own Christianity. You are bound to fail. Right? If you don't have people who speak into your life to check on you and ask you the hard questions, you're going to fail. Right? Here's how the Bible puts it. Ecclesiastes chapter number 4, verses 9 through 10. It says, two are better than one, because they have a good return for their labor. If either of them falls down, one can help the other up. But pity anyone who falls and has no one to help them up. See, sometimes we want to be the savior, the superhero. But listen, you can check on people, but you better have somebody checking on you. It's not a one-way street. You weren't designed for that. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 through 25. It says, let us consider how we may spur one another toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing. Amen. And encouraging one another. And all the more as you see the day approaching, we should get together even more. Christianity is a community, and you can't do community solo. Right? Can I say this to you? If you're going to finish strong, you're going to have to finish together. If we're going to finish strong, we're going to have to finish together. You can't do it by yourself. So my question is, do you have somebody in your life who every time you leave a conversation with them makes you want to serve Jesus more? Right? Is there anyone who asks you the hard questions on a consistent basis? If you're doing Christianity right, the answer to that question is yes. It's been said that you're the product of the sum of the five closest people you spend the most time with. So here's my question. In any of those five relationships, are you talking about Jesus? Are you sharing what Jesus is doing in your life? If you're not, can I just tell you, your love for Jesus is going to grow cold. We need people in our life who will be so committed to us that they won't let us fall, right? But let me just give you a caution, because we've got this whole community of people who are doing small groups and home groups and all this kind of stuff. And let me just give you a caution about that. Not critical of that at all. That's part of it, right? But the goal is not to just spend time with other Christians. A lot of times Christians can spend time together and never talk about Jesus. Right? You can go to lunch today and you can talk about LSU football. Last weekend, I got to go to the Florida Gator Stadium. Ain't nobody talking to you. Come on, Jesus. Crush my enemies right now in Jesus' name. David prayed that. Come on, I'm just being biblical. Don't look at me all critical. Right? I got to go watch. Like, you can talk about recipes. You can talk about friends. You can talk about other Christians. Like that doesn't happen. Some of the finest slander happens in Christian community. Come on, somebody. Some of the biggest gossip and rumors happens in Christian community, right? Like, you can have your group and never talk about Christ. You can talk about football. I can have those conversations with a non-Christian. The goal is to talk to other Christians about Christ. Right? Nothing wrong with talking about football and Jesus. But if all you talk about at your group is about everybody else or everything else and Christ never comes up, then your group is useless. Come on, somebody. Because we got a whole lot of people doing groups. And like, oh, let's do groups. I get criticized all the time. Why don't y'all do small groups? I'm like, our church is a small group. Right? And you start small groups and you get cliques. And then the cliques, they're not talking about Christ. They're talking about whatever they're mad about at the moment. Like, let's get together and lift up Jesus, because that's the benefit of somebody keeping you accountable, right? We talk to other Christians about Christ. There's a difference between talking to a Christian and talking to someone who's going to get you closer to Jesus. Just because you're in a small group Bible study doesn't mean you're about Jesus. Because I've been in a lot of those groups, and they talk about football, and then in Jesus' name, amen. And I'm no closer to Jesus than I ever was. Right? So we don't just need to talk to Christians, we need to talk about Christ. So maybe you're thinking, man, that would be great, Pastor. That'd be cool if we could do that. Well, let me just tell you, you can. It's really, really easy. I'm going to give you one little question to ask, right? And we do this. We have a few guys meet on Thursdays, kind of crazy, but we do a Bible study, or not a Bible study, but a Bible plan, and we have like 30 minutes of just talking about whatever, and then we have the last 30 minutes of prayer and talking about Christ. And what I try to ask is this one question, and I challenge you to ask this question. What is God speaking to you this week? Not what he did in 1922, not when the Great American Revival happened. What is God doing in your life right now? It can be a conviction. It could be a praise report. It could be whatever. But listen, it does no good to have breakfast with no Jesus. Right? We do no good to come around here on a Sunday and talk about everything without Jesus. And we got a whole lot of people having conversations minus Christ in the world today. And I'm just simply saying, listen, that's not what accountability is. It's not about, oh yeah, I talk to them on the phone every day. Has Jesus been brought up? Have they asked you the hard questions? Like, sir, are you watching everything you're watching on your television and computer? Is that appropriate? Are you hiding anything? Are you lying to me right now? Come on, somebody. I don't care how much you know about the book of Revelation. If you ain't letting God do some revelation in your life, it's useless. If everybody just says, oh, you're awesome. Listen, the Bible says beware if everybody speaks well of you. Listen, if you're doing Christianity right, you're going to make some people mad. Well, we're not supposed to make people mad. No, no, no. Jesus says mamas and daddies are going to hate each other. Like, oh no. No, if you're doing Christianity right, people are going to be mad at you. You need some people who get in your face and say, Pastor, your attitude's wrong. Pastor, and let me just tell you, that goes both ways, okay, just so you know. It can't just be all, bleh. But just ask them that question, what is God teaching you recently? And can I just tell you, if we could do that one question well, dude, church would become really, really exciting. Because you would understand that somebody's struggling with the same thing you are, and God's helping them overcome. And that person, maybe they weren't healed with cancer at this particular moment, but God touched them. Like I saw this week, literally, when we had a time this week where we had a situation, and I'm like, oh God, this is not going to be good. This is not going to be good. And instantaneously, it changed. Like between like the hotel and where we were changed. And when you hear those kind of stories, you know that God's not dead. He's fully alive. And it's not just a song. But if all you get together, back when it was really good and we used to have really good service. Dude, I don't know about you. I'm still having really good services right now. Like I'm having a time of my life right now. Right? Because God is good. And He hasn't stopped moving. Maybe I've moved sometimes. But listen, He's always there to say, come back. But you got to have some people in your life who will do life with you. Right? And worship team, you guys can come. I'm going to land the plane. Everybody say, land the plane. Having too much fun, Pastor. Let me give you one more. This is a bonus. If you want your love for Jesus to not grow cold, we've got to remember. We've got to remember. In Luke chapter number 7, Jesus is having dinner with some Pharisees, and this lady comes in, and she's weeping, and she washes Jesus' feet with her hair. And here's what it says in verses 39 through 47. It says, when Jesus, who had invited him, saw this, when the Pharisees who had invited him saw this, he said to himself, if this man was a prophet, he would know who is touching him and what kind of woman she is, that she's a sinner. Aren't we all? Jesus answered, Simon, I have something to tell you. Tell me, teacher, he said. Two people owed money to a certain moneylender, and owed 500 denarii and the other 50, and neither of them paid the money back to him. Neither of them had the money to pay him back, so he forgave the debts of both. Now, which of them will love him more? Simon replied, I suppose the one who had the bigger debt forgiven. So there's a forgiveness. Who's going to love him more? And Jesus says, you judge correctly. Then he turned toward the woman and said, Simon, you see this woman? I came to her house and you did not give me any water for my feet, but she wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. And you did not give me a kiss, but this woman from the time I entered has not stopped kissing my feet. And you did not put oil on my head, but she had poured perfume on my feet. Therefore, I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven, as her great love has shown. But whoever has been forgiven little loves little. When our love for Jesus has grown cold, it's for one reason. One reason. We've forgotten what He saved us from. Right? Our love for Jesus grows cold because we've forgotten what it's like to be hopeless. We've forgotten what it's like to be addicted. We've forgotten what it's like to be in bondage. We've forgotten what it was like before Jesus stepped into our life and changed our life. Right? We're so familiar with what our life is now that we've forgotten what our life was before. We've forgotten what it was like to go out on the Friday night and get used and go back and just feel like trash and we've forgotten. We've forgotten the drugs we've shot, or we've forgotten the alcohol addiction, or we've forgotten the abuse, or we've forgotten the sickness. We've forgotten all that stuff because, man, we've been in this thing so long, man. Everybody, just get on the team. The best thing you can do to keep from letting your love for Jesus go cold is to remember you were a sinner on your way to hell. I was a sinner on my way to hell. I was never a bad sinner, right? How many know all sin sends you to hell? I wasn't a bad sinner. Going to the same destination, same train. Might as well go all in the other way, right? Like But isn't it true? I was never a bad person. So if you've not been forgiven for much, it doesn't matter to you so much. All right? We have Teen Challenge. We're going to have them in a few months. And they come, and everybody loves to come to Teen Challenge service, right? Because you're like, dude, you see the before and afters, right? And they do incredible work. But I used to work for Teen Challenge. And so what we do is we like, you know, get them when they've been on the bus for 24 hours. And we take a picture then, you know what I'm saying? Like, right? And they just done their last high before, right? Yeah. And then we come and Jesus does something. But listen, they come in to church and they worship. And nobody has to say, hey, worship, raise your hand, stand up. Let's say, Jesus, we love you. You know why? Because they were a mess before Jesus. Right? But isn't it true? Like, we still have sin. We don't maybe have outward sin, right? We have like slander and gossip and gluttony. Oops, did I say the G word? Right? Right? We have those sins. And well, those aren't bad. Like I ain't cheating on my wife. I mean, I'm just saying no to nothing and just buying everything I want, like Amazon. Like, I have my own personal drone that's sending things to my house because it looks like, come on. But I'm all good, right? I told somebody this week, I'm like, dude, you're supposed to have the spirit of self-control. Like, right? Isn't that the fruit of the spirit? Am I losing something here? Right. I can't do that. That's supposed to be part of who you are as a Christ follower. If I'm misquoting, please show me. But like sometimes I have to say, yeah, I want that, but no. Yeah, I want to go there, but no. Yeah, I want to do that, but no. You said, Pastor, you're meddling now. Probably. We've forgotten what it's like to be lost. So the one way to keep our love for Jesus strong is to remember. So instead of coming to church thinking, oh, I've got it all figured out, and I know what's going to happen, I know what he's going to say, and it's the same thing all the time, that actually you come in and think, dude, I can worship God because, dude, I was once lost, but now I'm found. I was once on my way to hell with all those other bad sinners, the prostitutes, the pedophile, all those people were like, ah, yuck, if you don't like them now, you're really going to be in trouble. If you end up spending eternity with them in hell. Right? If they disgust you now, we just got to remember we were lost. And can I just tell you, we're still lost without Jesus. But sometimes, honestly, dude, we can come in church and we've been in church for so long and we've done it for so long and we've heard it for so much, we forget that, dude, before Jesus, you were just as lost as they are. We see that person, we're like, oh, they'll never change. Before Jesus, you were lost as they were. And so my worship can be all in. I don't need my wife to give me a cheerleading. I don't need anybody to give me a cheerleading worship guy because I know who I was. I was the worst kind. I was the Pharisee. I was the person who had it all together on the outside. Oh, Jeff's a good old boy on the outside. But I was jacked up on the inside. I remember how lost I was. So worship is not a problem. Right? I don't have to be encouraged because I remember how lost I was. I serve and I don't care if I get paid or I don't get paid. I care if the bills get paid. But listen, I've got everything. God, I don't care. I remember how lost I was. And I don't deserve any of it. I deserve hell. That's what I deserve. But when we come into church sometimes and we think, dude, I don't have to worship God. You know, okay, whatever. Raise my hand. Because we've forgotten how far we've fallen. Or how far we've come, what God delivered us from. And so let's just remember.